Harry and I had a... Harry wanted to talk to me this morning.
About the same thing.
Exactly the same.
Word for word the same.
This is going to sound very cold and cruel. But there's no such thing as romance. There's no such thing as true. And the bottom line, there's no such thing as sexuality.
I understood the first thing you said, but I don't think
there's no such thing as male-female relationships. Whether they're legal or illegal, or up or down, or sideways, or backwards. Or
if Ed were here, we could have a really good
That's right, yeah.
You're very close.
It won't degenerate tonight like it usually does, because Ed's not here. Watch.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know if I'm understanding what you're saying.
Those that are counted worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven neither marry nor are given in marriage. If marriage and not marriage is not an issue, then nothing that precedes it or is a part of it can be an issue under a law of interpretation. All it relationships, marriage, sex, all of those are just childish things. They're like playing with toys, or they're all components of your river of life. They have no meaning, save as an instrument to cause you to have the capacity to be leavened. You understand?
I don't like what you're saying at all.
I mean,
well, but it goes back to
Matt and Jackie have, or Daryl in September. God doesn't give a holy shit whether they're married or not. He cares that that relationship between Matt and Jackie be something that is poured out here, where continually deeper and deeper and more subtle aspects of the mystery of the bride can be seen by the body. You didn't care whether Pete's single or Harry dines alone. He cares that the aloneness be seen as the longing, that component of the bride and the son. He doesn't care about Aziz and Barbara and Barry. I mean, all of your little family bullshit, it's meaningless. Except to see the capacity to have false gods and false value systems. Every idea you have about sex or relationships is based on the it has to be by definition based on a molten image, because it's not in your control. It's a molten image. And it must be marred. Well, I guarantee you it will be marred if you stay married long enough, or you go date enough women, or you...
Well, I mean, I've experienced...
Well, but there's...
Then
don't try to build up that which you've destroyed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can't.
Means that you're ready to cross over into another view of life, then. I mean, as long as you didn't care about it, then you just went out and lived and did stuff. And then when you start to care about it, that means the test is nearing its completion. You understand that?
It almost seems like it's the opposite.
No. The law is spiritual. Before the law comes, you just live. You just do your stuff. You still don't know what the meaning of the law, word law is, but that's another story. You just go do your stuff, and you just live, and you play, and you run around, and you get bent out of shape, and you do stuff, and then pretty soon you get confronted by the law. And the purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth. If it's shutting up your mouth, it also has to shut up every aspect of your mouth if you're prophesying. That's why there's no validity in prophesying until you've seen the law. Now, and that doesn't matter whether it's in your emotional response, your fantasy response, your intellectual response. Do you understand? For us, we are a billion light years away from where we are.
Huh? You mean from our surroundings? What are you talking about?
You are, in your mind, a billion light years away from where you're seated.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. The purpose of all of these things that trouble you are simply to see deeper and deeper and deeper the aspects of that mystery. There's no troubling that in itself has any value. It's not there to show you anything. It's not there to, you know, it's there that you would have the capacity to be totally leavened, but yet become unleavened.
Sort of like leprosy, when you're white, you're clean.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
Remember what he said the other night about the moths, the only grains that are used are the ones that can be leavened? They need that element, they have the potential to be leavened, otherwise they can't be used at all.
Well, and then there's no power seen if something that couldn't be leavened is...
Yeah, like you could skate over everything.
The matzahs can only be made from 5 grains: wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt.
What's the last one?
Spelt. That's a type of grain. And each of those, wheat, barley, oats, rye, spelt, have a growing season, and they all interrelate to the feast schedule, which this is stuff we've never yet talked about. You don't have to worry about it now. You got more on your plate you can handle right now. But every one of those grains has the capacity to be totally leavened. It ferments. If water touches it, it ferments, and therefore is unlawful for the use in matzah. Your function is to become matzah to your surroundings, to your world. Therefore, you must be in the spirit one of those 5 grains that has the capacity to be leavened. If you didn't have the capacity to be leavened, you'd be of no value.
The angels.
What does the word matzah mean?
Bread.
Are you saying that in a real sense that the purpose of boy, girl, male, female, husband, wife kind of stuff is its potential to take us out of the way, to cause the seed to fail, or...
Doesn't have any. It's
just like
fermentation.
I'm just getting pissed off.
Yeah. Fermentate, and the test is whether you continue. If you continue, then the process. If you don't continue, you're in outer darkness. It's as simple as it's.
Oh, damn, holy! I mean, it's as simple as that. But that's harsh. I mean.
Well, no, the real root, the real problem at the very bottom of what you said earlier is, I mean, I don't know, it feels silly saying this, it's like you think it's bad that you have this impossible, uncontrollable drive.
Remember,
that everyone else has to.
You know, everybody walking has.
All it has to be done is seeing that it's God. I mean, it's not, and it's not just, oh yeah, I see that God's there. I mean, you know, Aziz says that all the time.
Well, I mean, I see very clearly what you're saying about, like, all of a sudden the law enters the picture.
Yeah, that's what you say.
There's nothing you can do. I mean, particularly I found that in this case with Liz, I mean, there's nothing I can do where I'm not in some form or fashion breaking the law that I know. Do this, it's sorcery, you know what I mean? It's like there's no way around it. You can't possibly not break the law.
That's purpose, to shut up your mouth.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay.
Now.
No, that's not the way I do it either.
Grain, the seed, must have the capacity to be fermented. That which is fermentation in the wine, which makes the wine bubbly and you prophesy, fermentation in the grain is illegal. It's just two different views of the same. Now, in the Hebrew, the word for fermentation, i.e. becoming leavened, is the same word for the evil inclination within you. Fermentation is the same as the evil inclination of man. This great rabbi, I said that the Torah is written for man, not for angels, and he says, quote, to the angels, is there any jealousy among you? Is there any evil inclination among you? No. Therefore, you have no value to the Father, except to serve man.
And they can't even get pissed about it.
Now, you understand? That's exactly the point. You understand why Satan fell in a moment? Because he saw that he had to serve man. You understand why those, and universally the sons of Satan will refuse to do that? They refuse to lay down their life. They go on their own idea, and therefore they are the child of the devil. Period. Understand?
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
the same troubled look on your face that I had this morning. And a lot of it has to do with hearing that there's something you can do that's either right or wrong.
Well, but it's this, it's more complicated because you got this picture, this thing that enters into the, God protects the type. And the closer you get, you know, he didn't care a whole lot about dirt. You know, he didn't care a lot. Right?
Start fornicating.
But he cares as you move.
You take that through.
As you move closer and closer to the clarity of the type, then, I mean, is and that, and you're created to respond that way internally. Then you get, you know, oh my God. I mean, I can't tell you how. I mean, this movie Lawrence of Arabia is great because I go anywhere now, and if I mean, some girl comes up to me and tells me how much I look like Peter O'Toole. I mean, it's just constant. I mean, if this would have been, I mean, this is like,
yeah, no, you could really.
This is great.
Really taking advantage.
I showed that video cassette to someone at work, and he goes, "It looks like somebody famous, Peter O'Toole, I think."
Yeah, and you did. It was really weird even watching the movie.
But anyway.
I'm just saying what I heard.
No, remind me later, Chase, about the video.
But anyway, the point that happens in me now is like, plus now I got Tyra to confuse the issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What?
No, I'm just, that was for Rick's benefit, you know.
No, I mean,
Didn't you know that you were in really big trouble when you looked out of the control room and some girl walked from the studio, you saw her 25 feet away and you went bonkers and couldn't breathe?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't you know?
Yeah, I was in deep one, particularly at that point.
Yeah, but you've got to understand.
But what is that?
What that is it's instant worship of a molten image. It has nothing to do with you or her.
Yeah. Because I didn't even know her. I mean, it would have made any difference. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm playing this for it.
On another view, this is exactly what we're talking about. All of these are the tributaries, the pools, and the wood, and the stone vessels, for which you save the water. Try, and you think that if you go there, that water won't be turned to blood. The only way that you can find water is you have to dig. You remember? The digging And you don't. That's the renewal of the mind. You dig in fear and trembling. I mean, it's a different ball game. You're not playing in the right game park. You're not playing in the right ballpark when you address, when your mind centers on these things. I mean, it has nothing to do with it.
You know what? I was driving and something occurred to me, and it was that I would have this mind, and somewhere in the back of my mind I've always been thinking that at the judgment seat, you know, being before God, that all of a sudden the rules would be different because, you know, you wouldn't have this body, you wouldn't have all these earthly things to tempt you because it would all be gone, you know, or whatever. But I thought you would have the same mind.
You know? Yeah, but it's you have the same mind that you do at the point you beg for mercy. You ask for mercy, you see mercy. Yeah. I mean, that's the renewal process. And it's got to be renewed in each of the elements of the high, in each one of the elements of the high place activity. And that's what all we're about. And the plagues of the hot seats, all these things, they're just different views of the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there is, you know, we've said it 1,000 times, but every time that you literalize the parable, you've bit the dust. Mm-hmm. Now, you literalize the parable when you become concerned over it. You understand that?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that really cuts through a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's the parents, you literalize the parable when you become concerned over them. When if it's anything, if it's I told Barbara tonight that every member of the family of Jesus Christ thought he was insane. If they had have lived in today's society, they would have had him committed. You understand that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't have any allies. Mm. And the farther we go on this trek, and the more you see, the less allies you will have. I've told you this from the beginning.
Yeah.
I remember when you're talking about, I don't know, maybe you mentioned stuff that night about alliances. And you said, especially married couples, and I was thinking, I mean, I started thinking about just the depth of just subtle, I mean, anytime you agree on anything, when you're joking about Powell and Harry going, God damn it, that Ollie, or whatever, you know, and it just freaked me out to think, I mean, casually with anyone, but especially with him, because I spent so much time with him, just the little teeny agreements. We like this. We don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this wonderful? I mean, just all this just weird shit. Just like,
see, every...
Whoa.
Every religion that I'm aware of, besides us, tries to emulate angels.
Yeah.
Or their view of an angel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, Christ was such a good guy. Let's try to be like Christ.
So you transform yourself into an angel of light.
They try to be, have no capacity to be leavened.
Yeah. Right, so they protect their environment. They battle evil. I don't give a shit about evil. I don't care what some idiot's going to do to me or not do to me. I don't care what some, you know, who cares? You know, all that can happen is on some have compassion. You know, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, and some have compassion, pulling them out of the fire, but if they won't come out, can't. Because if you take responsibility for that soul, if you think you are necessary for the salvation of that soul, then you have automatically stopped the Holy Spirit from working.
You can feel it right away because everything seems like such labor around that person that you care about. It's like everything's effortful.
Right.
So you know that you're not carried by anything other than your own strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we're sort of, we didn't spend very much time with her, but Lillian, this girl I've known for a long time, Jackie and I have seen her a couple of times recently because she's just, it's been kind of her initiative.
She's drying out from the drug abuse.
It's been her initiative, and it's, yeah, I can really feel that. It's like the minute that I think that we can do something for her, then.
Well, you've seen, you've all seen enough my responses to you. You know, I don't believe that I can save you or, you know, cause you to learn anything or cause you to see anything. I'm in the spirit responsible to make sure you're fed with the bread of life. But that's a different twist than.
Well, I spent, as you know, 3 years trying to be responsible because of my own second agenda, not because I cared about.
Well, it's once you decide you need to save somebody, you also decide how it's got to be done or what it's supposed to look like, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Does everybody understand this stuff a little better? Those are all other components of the tributaries of the River of Life that has been turned to blood. There's only death there, but you have to smell that blood. You have to see that the blood in those secret little chambers and secret little tributaries is death. Smells bad, stinks, stench. It's a stench in the nostril of God. It's a stench and should be in your nostrils because you must confess. You must say the same thing as God, see the same thing as God, speak the same thing as God, and sense the same thing as God. That's what a priest is. That's what a Levite is. Your senses are exercised to discern soul from spirit. And you don't think they've been, but think of the thousands of things that you now reject automatically. You think I'm just like a. That's not true. But God has done it within you without you knowing it.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, even if I can't explain why I'm less willing to listen to a particular line or whatever, it's you still know it.
You know? No, and then God, the next stage is God just having you open your mouth at that point where you know. I don't have any more knowledge than any of you do. I don't have any more brains than any of you do. I don't have any more. All I do is speak what's there.
Spiritually pumped up.
Yeah, I'm not some, you know.
you up.
You know what that's talking about.
Thumbs in front.
The thumbs in front, the spiritual exercisers.
You're me now, understand me there.
You're me now, but understand me tomorrow. Listen to what I have to say today.
He turned my river of life into root beer.
It was bitter root.
The chancellor of the University of California at Irvine saw the video and cried.
Really?
Wow, really?
I'm going to see the pants off those guys for a while.
And?
How did you know about this?
We're working on getting him a PhD.
Oh, that's right. I had a part in that video too, didn't I?
That's why I told you. I forgot.
I feel a lot better about myself now.
How did you know about that, Harry?
Oh, when I was married.
Did he call you?
The lady. The lady that Hal contacted and sent him to call.
We're not doing well tonight, folks.
I think we're doing wonderful.
This is great. Oh, no,
this is great.
This is great.
I'm going to tell you what. I woke up.
We'll be the judge.
I probably can't explain what you said this morning and tonight. I don't think I could counsel with anybody on it, but I understand what you're saying, and I sure feel how well.
This is like filling in the holes that we left fortuitously last week about all the secret tributaries and lots of water and stuff.
It's like you said, we had homework, and you said, think about sex. Well, I didn't do my homework, and I didn't think about it, but I thought about it.
You showed up with your homework.
God did Barbara's homework for her.
Yes.
Never want God to do.
He will perform that which he has appointed you to do.
I like that.
It's good.
Thank God.
Hey God, we're gonna work for you.
Smiling all night. I like that. Okay. Everybody, anybody have any other questions about the tributaries? There may be a thousand others, and I'll just have to trust that God will reveal them to you, but the main ones have to do with sexuality and emotional responses. And you got to know that there's no... whenever it's blood, blood always signifies that there is no life. If the blood is seen, there's death. Okay? Exodus 8. Before we go on to the next plague, in Exodus 7, verse 22. It says, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. Now, what do you think that meant?
I asked myself.
Yeah, what did that
mean? It means that the powers of the world can cause the same thing.
That's right. You can know with the powers of your own perception that all of your rivers of life can be turned to blood.
Kind of like group therapy or something?
Could Pharaoh's magicians turn the blood back into water?
Oh. Now the names of these, there were two magicians. Their names were
Jamie's.
Yeah.
And Jamie's. And they are, according to 1 Timothy, reprobate and capable of knowing truth. It says, from such turn away. Okay? That's good, Harry. I'm proud of you.
Did you do the first three? Yeah, it really bothered me.
Okay, chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, in other words, you must hear this. You must know that you are Pharaoh, and Israel is his people. It's impossible for Pharaoh to serve God, except serve as a, in a negative way. Well, to serve as an antagonist, or as the leaven, or as... or as the acid on the assaying of the gold, or as a hammer to bust up the quartz. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Now that seems like a dumb thing to do. And the river what? Well, it
yeah,
is.
I just like the perimeter of the yard is like solid frogs.
Yeah. I mean, that's really...
Actually, that's a pretty...
And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into thy house, the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and upon the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now, remember that frogs were... Well, first of all, in Egypt, you could not kill a frog. The frog represented the goddess Heka, and she was your personal... Each one, she was... It was like they knew Heka as their personal savior. They accepted Hecca as their personal savior.
That's what I said. Smart is not designed to bother anyone.
Who can you be talking about?
Because Hecca was the goddess of their personal success.
She was like Zig Ziglar, Egypt.
No worse. She made Zig Ziglar look like Ned in the First Reader.
Where is that from?
Ned.
Ned of the First Reader.
And the First Reader.
It's all primitive.
No, I know the First Reader, but Ned.
Well, that's the name of the book that I was taught by in the first grade.
It was Ned before it was Dick.
Did you mean anything by that, Lee?
Really? I was thinking that.
Language is a fun thing.
Carry on.
Now, it speaks directly to that which is spoken of in the book of Revelation regarding the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, of which thing I hate. Now, you got to hear this because it will enter into every arena by which you define success. In Egypt, this affects your concepts of creativity, your concepts of success vis-a-vis relationships, vis-a-vis your family, vis-a-vis everything. Internal ability to understand the Bible.
It's easy to see how the first two plagues are related.
Well, now, the purpose of them is to show you your true state of poverty, of emptiness, of aloneness, of failure without the resurrection. And if you are trusting in anything other than the resurrection, including your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, i.e., some way that he's going to cause you to have success, or the idea, well, if I'm a Christian, then I shouldn't have these thoughts, or shouldn't be this way, or, you know, all the other bullshit your mind does to you, then the frogs have to invade. And they have to die and stink up every arena. Now notice where these frogs went in verse 3. They shall go into thine house, into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, into the house of thy servants, upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. Now, one day, not this time, but we're going to go into the idea of why the relationship of the frogs going into the kneading troughs and the making of leaven. I mean, the making of matzah. But it's where you go to lie with your lovers in the bedchamber. Isaiah 57, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But if somebody's calling for the thing he has sold. But draw here, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys into the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion, they are thy lot. Even to them thou hast poured a drink offering, thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain, hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also in the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another. than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it, etc., etc. And that's why the frogs had to go into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and to the etc., etc., because you have to come to the conclusion that the ideas of success that you are playing in your mind in every arena are a lie. That they're dying. All you're doing is worshiping the goddess Heka. You understand? And it's an enemy of faith. Now, the ideas then of success. Now let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. No, chapter 3. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith he, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, it's interesting to me that the idea of lukewarmness is connected to the idea of thinking that you're rich.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Do you understand?
Yeah. Knowing not wretched.
If you knew that you were wretched and blind and poor and naked and without hope, then every minute would be either death or the resurrection. If the frogs truly crept into your bedchamber, this place where you play these games with your mind, and died and you smelled them, they already have, but you have to see it, then that would be impossible. You wouldn't go, there's smelly dead frogs. You understand? So this, but you got to understand, this extends to your ideas about success vis-a-vis the doctrine, vis-a-vis God. Whatever things are gained to me, these are loss for Christ. Period. I mean, especially if you're about ready to start teaching, and some of you are a lot closer than you think. Then, if you think you're ready to, if you play that game, you'll totally fail. I never thought I was ready to. And it's probably obvious I wasn't ready to. I just opened my mouth. And that's what will happen in you. Amen?
This reminds me of, like when we'll do a feast or something and we'll say, Father, I know we're not going to get this right. There's no way.
There's no way we can get it right.
And, this is just what we do.
Amen. Okay, everybody see the thing about the frogs? I mean, that's a pretty simple one. Except the idea that maybe you've expanded on it, the religious aspect of the frogs. All right. Well, we got some more to read about the frogs. In verse 6, And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now, they didn't just bring up the frogs, they caused the frogs to come up and die. So again, with the wisdom of the world, this is possible. You can see the stupidity and the vanity of your success stuff if you just take it out.
I could see that. This is sort of like a witness against myself, but there it is. I could see that more clearly when I was 15 than I can now.
Amen.
Yeah. I saw it very clearly then, and I wasn't wrong. Now I'm just...
Yeah, it's like this thing with Kimberly. You know, Kimberly's 15, and she's, in many ways, she's like 8. But we spent a lot of time, and I spent a lot of time talking to her about this issue. I mean, she sees with clarity the futility and of all of the. I mean, she's got her other alternate things, but this idea that God has always created a generation gap, so that you always can see these three things. You can see the river of life turned to blood, you can see the frogs, i.e. the success turns to shit, and you can see the next one. Okay. Now comes real religion. I mean real, i.e. the world's kinds of religion. This is called foxhole theology. Verse 8. This is the definition of what most of Christianity admires. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. And he's recognizing, he's giving credence to the Lord. Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. You understand? Your life falls apart, your success goes to nothing, and you come to God. Unfortunately, many of you in this book are at Exodus 8, verse 8.
Think of that thing, and I don't know why, Burt Reynolds in the end. Have you ever seen the movie when he thinks he's going to drown and out in the middle of the thing and making all these promises, you know, basically for a sacrifice, and the closer in he swims, the more promises he breaks. You know, it's like the promises get less and less and less as he gets towards the shore.
And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and from thy and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the house, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered together them, they gathered them together unto heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Understand? Mm-hmm. To hearken unto the Lord for each of you from this moment forward means to know that there is no condition that can come upon you, there is no stimulus that can come around you that isn't directed by the hand of God, and therein you say, glory in tribulation. Amen. If not, if you're making deals, if your happiness is dependent on some external phenomena taking place or your response to external phenomenon, then you're left in Egypt at the third plague. No matter how much you think you can study God stuff. Am I communicating? Now there's one thing that I forgot to mention. The first plague is the blood, and it is connected with the afkamen, the wine of the afkamen. But if your worth comes in any other place other than the blood of Jesus Christ, then there are still arenas of your life for which the blood of Christ is worthless. You understand? The second plague, frogs, really, in one sense, cover hunger, because the bread tray, it's that which gives you sustenance, either in your imagery, in your the work of your hands, or in your bread, the fertile grain produced, the kneading troughs. It causes that to fail, that you might see your hunger. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. Now, so the first and second plagues cover, in many ways, the bread and the wine of the afkamen. Understand? The liquid, the drinking of liquid, is always connected in the spirit with worth. The eating of bread or solids is connected with sustenance. And that's why every time you eat, it's the reminder. I mean, you start out doing it just once a year at Passover, then you do it weekly at communion, and finally you do it no matter what comes into your mouth, whether it's any kind of liquid going in, it's a reminder of the worth, and any kind of solid food going in, it's a reminder of the sustenance. And once those two items are established, worth and sustenance, then you're free. Amen? That's enough. We covered some pretty heavy stuff tonight, so think on these things.
Hey, big guy.